News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, February the 7th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. The House Intelligence Committee gets down to work on the Trump-Russia investigation. Also on our Thursday rundown, the Feds hand a victory to payday lenders, plus dentists are urged to join the fight in the opioid crisis. Now our top story, the House Intelligence Committee voted Wednesday to send dozens of witness interview transcripts from its Russia investigation to the special counsel, Robert Mueller. Not from Politico, they say Mueller could use them to prosecute instances of perjury. They add it's the first act of the intelligence panel under the leadership of Chairman Adam Schiff, who's vowed to revive the committee's investigation. Politico notes the panel's Democrats have long suggested that Donald Trump Jr. and other witnesses may have lied to the committee during its investigation, and they've encouraged Mueller to examine whether perjury or obstruction of justice charges are warranted against them. Finally, federal investigators have already used some of the committee's transcripts to prosecute at least two longtime Trump associates for perjury. The federal government is proposing to gut the rules and protect consumers from short-term payday loan companies that are often referred to as predatory lenders.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau already put the Obama-era payday lending rule on hold, but on Wednesday, the agency said it wants to remove the requirement that lenders determine whether borrowers have the ability to pay the loan back. Christine Hines with the National Association of Consumer Advocates says she thinks the feds have caved to industry pressure.
Payday lenders are some of the worst actors in the financial industry, and it looks like the CFPB has given them a lifeline as opposed to vulnerable consumers.
Michigan does have some state-level rules that, for example, limit the interest rate on a two-week $100 loan to 390%, but 37 other states have limited it to 36% or have banned these high-cost installment loans altogether. The Trump administration defends the change, saying it will allow more people access to credit. I'm Suzanne Potter.
The proposed rule change will be published in the Federal Register by Monday, which kicks off a 90-day public comment period on the federal website, regulations.gov. And a measure in the Washington state legislature would establish more oversight for a federal program that allows farms to recruit guest workers from other countries. More on the story from Eric Tegedoff.
The bill would create an Office of Compliance for the Guest Worker Program, known as H-2A, and require employers to pay a fee for worker applications. The Employment Security Department requested the bill, saying the program has grown more than 1,000% over the past decade, but has been unable to get more funding from the federal government. Rosalinda Guillen, head of farm workers' rights group Community to Community Development, says H-2A workers face retaliation for protesting working conditions.
These growers and labor contractors that bring workers in blacklist workers who complain. So yes, we think that the growers prefer the H-2A program because it's a totally controllable captive labor force.
Guillen says her organization receives complaints from guest workers about pay and poor housing and labor conditions. She notes that workers aren't able to form a union and protest because employers can send them back home for doing so. ESD expects 30,000 H-2A workers in Washington state this year. The Senate version of the bill, SB 5438, has a hearing today in the Committee on Labor and Commerce.
A bill in the Maine legislature is aimed at paying spouses who provide caregiving services for partners who are on Medicaid.
HP 70 is a new version of a bill that passed in the last session, but wasn't funded through the appropriations process. The legislation gets a public hearing today in the Health and Human Services Committee. Republican Representative Patrick Corey is the main sponsor of the bill. He says the idea for the legislation came from someone in his district.
I put in the bill for one of my constituents who has ALS. He's had it for 10 years now, and his wife stays home and she helps take care of him as a part of his care team. He needs pretty detailed personal care.
Since the constituent uses MaineCare, the state Medicaid program, he can reimburse professional caregivers, but not his wife. This bill would provide financial support to caregiving spouses as well who have partners on Medicaid. I'm Laura Ross-Brautelum reporting.
According to AARP, nearly 180,000 people care for a family member. That's about 13% of Maine's population. Finally, dentists are urged to join the fight in the opioid crisis.
Dentists and oral surgeons write 12% of all opioid prescriptions. While often necessary to combat dental pain, opioids come with a high risk of misuse and addiction. That's why United Healthcare Dental is focusing on reducing painkiller prescriptions and promoting proper use. As chief dental officer for the company, Dr. Ted Wong explains there are other alternatives to manage pain.
Instead of Vicodin or Percocets, which are the typical opioids that are prescribed, recent studies have shown that a combination of Tylenol with Motrin are as effective, if not more effective, than opioids for dental pain, and you don't have the risks of opioid addiction.
Following CDC recommendations, first-time opioid prescriptions written by United Healthcare dental health professionals will be limited to 3 days for people ages 19 and younger. More than 130 Americans die each day from opioid overdoses, and nearly half are estimated to be related to prescription opioids. Mary Sherman reporting.
It's estimated about half of opioid pain pills prescribed for dental pain go unused. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your day newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We're member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.